You can go ahead and take your copy of God's Word and turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 21. I'll invite your attention there this evening. Acts, chapter 21. This evening we'll start with verse 27, and we will finish the chapter at verse 40. Acts chapter 21, verse 27, says this: "And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him, crying out, 'Men of Israel, help. This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place. And further brought Greeks also into the temple and hath polluted this holy place.' For they had seen with him in the city Trophimus an Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. And all the city was moved, and the people ran together. They took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating of Paul. Then the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains and demanded who he was and what he had done. And some cried one thing and some another among the multitude. When he could not know the certainty for the tumult, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. When he came upon the stairs, so it was that he was borne of the soldiers for the violence of the people. For the multitude of the people followed after, crying, 'Away with him!' And as Paul was to be led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, 'May I speak unto thee?' Who said, 'Canst thou speak Greek? Art not thou that Egyptian, which before these days madest an uproar, and leddest out into the wilderness 4,000 men that were murderers?' But Paul said, 'I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city. And I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people.' And when he had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with the hand unto the people. When there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in Hebrew, in the Hebrew tongue, saying..." This evening's message won't be very long, but I've entitled it, Paul's Arrest. Paul's Arrest. Having read and seen what Luke recorded earlier in the chapter, what could happen to Paul and what was prophesied would happen to Paul, we see the events as they took place. We remember last time, as Paul arrived in Jerusalem, he was received gladly by James and the rest of the brethren who were there at the church. He had been given opportunity to give a report to the church at Jerusalem of what had taken place in his missionary journeys, and they informed him that there were some who were there, some of the Jews who had slandered his good name. They had told that Paul was in these Gentile lands, and while he was there serving the Lord, that he was telling the Jews who lived in those areas that they did not need to circumcise their children anymore or walk after the customs found in the Old Testament. If you'll remember the advice that Paul was given was that he should go into the temple and in the temple with four men who needed to keep their vow, he would go there. It was the time of the Feast of Pentecost, and by doing this, the Jews, as they came there during this feast, they would see that Paul had respect for the Jewish customs, and they would see that the rumors, they weren't true. It would be demonstrated very, very clearly that he walked in an orderly manner among the Jews and according to the law. Verse 27, where we picked up, tells us that it almost worked. Verses 27 through 29, we see what happened there, and I'll read it again. And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him, crying out, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law in this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple, and hath polluted this holy place. For they had seen before with him in the city of Trophimus an Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple." He wasn't trying to cause any issues among the Jewish people, but some Jews from Asia recognized him and saw him there, and they tried to stir up the people. They stirred them up with false accusations by getting involved where they shouldn't have. Beware, beloved, beware of people who will stir you up, try to stir me up with accusations against other brothers and sisters. Of things that may or may not be true. This is a tactic of the devil, and men fall into this trap, and if we're not careful, we'll fall into it too. Even amongst our own people right now, and by our own people I mean Baptist people, you see, you and I, we're far removed from the Jewish customs and all of that. But fast forward to today, and here we are, we're Baptists. But we have to be careful, because right now, the big thing is to stir one church up against another, one brother against another brother, over who's fellowshipping with who. And one brother is going to this church or that conference, or one brother has fellowship with this person or that person. This sort of thing ought not to be. Over in the book of Proverbs, chapter 6, Proverbs chapter 6 and verses 16 through 19. The Bible says, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. The actual translation of this, the Hebrew, is these six things does the Lord hate. Yea, the seventh is an abomination to him. Look at this now. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and what's there at the end of this list? He that soweth discord among brethren. He that soweth discord among brethren. God does have a church. The Lord does have a church. There's no question of it. The Lord started his church during his earthly ministry. There's no question of that. He promised that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. I believe that church is a Baptist church. When, in the providence of time, J.R. Graves, J.M. Pendleton, and A.C. Dayton came on the scene, they recognized that there was confusion in this world. And they wrote about the Lord's churches. And they were helping out some churches, some brothers who had gone astray a little bit. But in their writings, in their preachings, and in their zeal to help them churches, and in, to help them brothers out, they did not unchurch other Baptist churches who disagreed with them. Nor did they cut fellowship with brethren who believed differently. This is all relatively new. But in another sense, it's as old as human nature. As time moved on, and one group said, well, let's see, if we can't get this group to listen, then they must not be a true church. They started cutting churches. And then another group said, well, if they won't follow what we're teaching, they must not be real preachers. And then some people say, well, if they fellowship with these preachers, they must not be true. And rumors and slanders came up. Divisions. That's what was going on there amongst the Jews. And Paul got caught in the middle of it. It's a dangerous game that was being played then. And it's a dangerous game that's being played now. Y'all are young. If the Lord don't come back soon, you're going to see more and more division amongst some brethren. Don't get caught up in that. Don't get caught up in that sort of division and slander. It's a terrible game to be caught up in. Love the Lord. Love the Lord's church. Love the Lord's people. But don't be so tribal as to fight against the very people of God. Paul was doing the Lord's work. These Jews jumped him. Look there in Acts chapter 21, verses 30 to 32. All the city was moved. The people ran together. And they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. When they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating of Paul. Paul was jumped. He was dragged out of the temple. And these people were so angry. Their emotions were so high. Not because of anything that Paul had done. Keep in mind, it was because of what they perceived. They were zealous for something that wasn't even true. They were angry against him based off of a lie. Paul was jumped. He was dragged out of the temple. They were ready to kill him. The Roman soldiers came, and they left off from beating Paul. And so in verse 33, then the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains, demanded who he was and what he had done. So the chief captain came when he heard about the ruckus and all the trouble that was going on, and commanded Paul to be bound with the chain. Now, this is a key passage with some charismatics. Now, who are the charismatics? Well, the charismatics are those fellows who get in and they try to say that the Holy Spirit told them some prophecy. They try to tell you that the Holy Spirit has given them dreams, that God spoke to them, and all of these sorts of things. Beware of such kind of preaching. Those guys are fakes. They're frauds. They're not true. Indeed, if you're ever in a place where a man is telling you that they have a word from the Lord, some vision, some dream, get away from it. Get away from it. We have a word from God. It is the word of God, this Bible. God does not speak to us through visions or prophets or apostles anymore. Those days are gone. And we've looked at that time and time again. But if there's still questions about that, we can revisit that after the service. But why is this such a big deal for the charismatics? Well, it's a big deal for them because a lot of times they give their supposed prophecies, and they're wrong. So, for instance, this last election, they were all over the TV. Greg Locke and those guys, they were on TV. They said, Donald Trump is going to be the next president of the United States. He's going to get reelected by a landslide, and on they went. But he didn't. He didn't. Now, it could be argued that there was fraud there, and I believe there was, but if they were prophets of God, they should have seen that coming. But they didn't. They didn't see that coming. And when quizzed about it, these fellows say, well, sometimes there's prophecies that are wrong and all of that. And that's not unusual. In the Old Testament, those guys got stoned. And so what they do is they go here to Acts chapter 21 and they say, Agabus gave a prophecy and he was wrong and Luke recorded it. Let me show you what they've done here. If you look back at verses 10 through 12, go back there with me in Acts 21, verses 10 through 12. Scripture says here, Luke recorded it under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. When he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. So Agabus prophesied and said as he took Paul's girdle, essentially took his belt, okay, bound his own hands and feet, and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, this is the way that the Jews in Jerusalem are going to bind the man that owns this girdle and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Well, fast forward when he gets to Jerusalem, and we read about it there. We don't read about the Jews binding him. We read about the Romans binding him with two chains. And so the charismatics say, aha, see, Agabus was wrong. And not only was Agabus wrong, but the Holy Spirit recorded this. And I've even heard some of them say the Holy Spirit got it wrong. Talk about blasphemy now. But that's what they say. Now, let me ask you, as you think through this scenario, was Agabus wrong? Was the Holy Spirit wrong in this? Was it an incorrect prediction? Was it an incorrect prophecy? I say it was not. Paul was a fit man. Think about Brother Peter Halliman. He does missionary work, travels around. Paul doing missionary work, traveling around. How are they going to get a grown man, them Jews, how are they going to get a grown man out of the temple? Read it again, verse 30. And all the city was moved. The people ran together and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple. And forthwith the doors were shut. And as they went about to kill him. What did Agabus say? Agabus said his hands and his feet would be bound. What do we think? That Paul was just laying there like a baby while they tried to take him out and try to kill him until the Roman soldiers came? I don't think so. I believe that Luke simply did not repeat what Agabus had already prophesied. As he told the story under the inspiration of the Spirit. You and I, as we read this, discerning that the Holy Spirit, who does not lie, and also discerning that this is a grown man in the temple, that this must have been how it took place. And then when the Roman soldiers came, they cleared up the mess, and then they would have secured him a little better than just the belt. And they got him with chains. So don't let the charismatics trick you with their abuse of the scriptures and their insult or blasphemy to the Holy Spirit. Watch out for it, because it does happen. These tricksters and charlatans, they do come up from time to time. They are very popular right now, especially with the internet and all that. Don't fall for that kind of garbage. Verses 34 through 40, as we kind of bring this to a close. And some cried one thing, some another among the multitude. And when he could not know the certainty for the tumult, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. And when he came upon the stairs, so it was that he was borne of the soldiers for the violence of the people. I mean, this thing was so crazy, going on so bad. Paul had to be carried by the soldiers, protected by the soldiers from the Jews. Okay? Understand the providence of God in all of this. The mob was so bad that God is using unsaved Gentiles to protect Paul. Okay? We got two groups at work here besides Paul and the missionary team. You got some lost Jews and you got some lost Gentiles. But God is using the lost Gentiles to preserve his man. And you know what? Sometimes that happens. We don't understand it. I don't understand it. But God uses these people for his own good. God's the potter, and we're all just clay. And I think about like this country. You know, we had 4 years of really good time with President Trump. Trump is a lost man. But I believe God used him for some good. Now, I don't know what's in store for this country, but can God do stuff like that? Yes, he can. Yes, he can. And we see that there. Because the multitude, verse 36 says, of the people followed after, crying, "Away with him." They were ready to kill him. The Jews hated Paul so much. And a lot of it was because the terrible Jews who had gotten in their midst, who stirred them up. And so I just warn you again, if you have some bitterness about a preacher, if you have some bad feelings about a missionary, if you have some feelings about somebody or some group of people, just be careful that it's firsthand knowledge and not because of rumors that may have come up that may not be true. And as Paul was to be led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, "May I speak unto thee?" Who said, "Canst thou speak Greek?" So at this point, the Romans don't even know for sure who he is. And he says to the chief captain, the commander. So he's being led to the barracks. He says, "Can I speak to you?" And he said, "Do you speak Greek?" Look at this in verse 38. "Aren't you the Egyptian which before these days made an uproar and led out into the wilderness 4,000 men that were murderers?" So at this point, there's a case of mistaken identity or possible mistaken identity. He thinks he's some Egyptian that led some sort of a revolt or group out into the wilderness, 4,000 men. That wasn't Paul. And he's not Egyptian, but hey. And so verse 39, Paul kind of clears that up a little bit. Paul said, "I'm a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, a city of no mean city." "And I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people." When he'd given him license, when he'd given him permission, Paul stood on the stairs, beckoned with the hand unto the people. And when there was made a great silence, okay, the mob shut up, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue. Okay, this was a big deal. Bear in mind that mostly everybody was speaking in Koine Greek. Okay? But Paul was going to speak to them in the Hebrew tongue, in the Hebrew language. Remember, he's been accused of going contrary to the Old Testament, contrary to the things of the traditions of Moses. Now he's going to speak to those who had gathered at the temple for the feast. Lord willing, next time we'll read and study together what his testimony is before them as he takes the opportunity to speak before his accusers. And not just his accusers, but the very people who tried to kill him just moments ago. We'll close with that.